Open then to Romans chapter 11, Romans 9, 10, and 11, once again, being what about Israel? And of course, that would be important to the church, because sadly, I think one of the greatest scandals of the church age has been the way that churchianity has treated Israel. More on that as we get into the text, but it truly is scandalous. Well, let's begin reading then in Romans chapter 11 and verse number 11, where Paul says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall, ultimately fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, he also spare not thee. Well, this is far enough that we can begin to reconnect with where we were a couple of weeks ago. What about Israel? Have they stumbled that they should ultimately fall? No, Paul denies that. And then he talks about the fact that the fall of them came out to be the riches of the world. And we talked about that, but let's bring ourselves back up to speed. When we look at the passage of Scripture that we just read for tonight, Paul is talking about Israel, the Gentiles, and then he gets a little bit more specific and talks about the church. And so he first of all speaks about Israel as a group. Have they fallen? Have they been cast away forever, never to be received back? Well, I think we looked at a whole bunch of scriptures last time we got together, so we won't do that again, that shows that there are many promises that God made to Israel which won't be fulfilled until the millennial kingdom, and that's still in our future. And so unless God has completely changed his mind and he's unfaithful, then those that say that God is finished with Israel have made God a liar, because he says he's not finished with Israel as a people and nation. But in verse number 12 now, he brings in the Gentiles, those who had never been a people before. Verse number 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, he's not talking about the church here, but the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And I think we probably need to reiterate this point once more before we press on. It's the casting aside of Israel that opens up the plan and purpose of God now to deal with the Gentiles, not the church, but the Gentiles in the aggregate, everybody that isn't Israel, in other words, all of the Gentile peoples and nations. Now, we must remember that before this happens, if a Gentile wanted to have a relationship with God, he had to do what? Does that mean that a Gentile was completely cut off from God?
No, but he had to study under Judaism at the time, essentially.
Yes, it isn't so much study under, but he had to become a Jewish proselyte, if you will. And the Old Testament is full of examples where the Israelites are warned to be very careful about a stranger within their gates, and a proselyte was to be treated exactly like somebody that was born from the actual stock of Isaac and Jacob. They weren't supposed to be a classed society where the proselytes were somehow less Jewish than those that had the actual bloodline. So the venue was open for anybody that wanted to come, but they had to come through Israel. They had to become sons of the law, bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, if you will, and then they would keep all of the observances of the Old Testament that God had commanded, the rituals, if you will. And then they were in the commonwealth of God. They actually had become Israelites, even though they had formerly been Gentiles. And so that's how it worked up to that point. But now, when we're talking about the fall of them, now God is free to deal with Gentiles in an entirely different way. Now, Gentiles are free to come to Christ by faith and have a standing in God that's outside of Israel, has absolutely nothing to do with Israel. So instead of a Gentile during the times of Israel, before they were cast away, for him to get to God, he had to go through Israel, if you will. And if you're thinking about that, then now you see what this picture of this olive tree is all about. We have the root at the bottom, and then the branches. Well, now, if some of these branches were broken off, like unbelieving Israel, well, does that give God an opportunity to do something? Yes, he could graft something else in there, but they would have to take their nourishment from that which already existed, which isn't Israel, it's the root. Now, I don't know if I got that across quite plainly enough last time we got together. What I'm not saying is that God opens up access to himself as Gentiles through the nation of Israel, and that somehow the church and Israel are the same thing, or the church takes the place of Israel, or the church draws its nourishment from Israel. The branches were broken off here, Israel, the unbelieving Israel, so that now these other branches, the wild olive branches, the Gentiles, if you will, they could be grafted in, but they're not drawing from the branches that still remain of faithful Israel. They're drawing from the root. And you'll remember that we talked about the root was none other than Abraham. Abraham was the root. And through Abraham, the blessings of God were to come onto the entire human race. And so what Paul is saying here is, first of all, don't despise Israel. Yes, some of the branches were broken off, and you were grafted in, but don't get the idea that you're somehow superior to Israel in the plan and purpose of God. And don't get the idea that you're like Israel and your connection to God is through Israel, as it was in the Old Testament. No, you stand by faith. And so you're a wild olive branch, something that was outside the commonwealth of Israel, being without hope, as the scripture points out. But because now the plan and purpose of God is dealing with the Gentiles by faith, we see the promise that God made to Abraham come to fruition. All of the nations of the earth are blessed in him. So this tree represents the formation of the plan and purpose of God. Does that make sense? Am I explaining this well? Okay, because it's important to understand that. Yes?
Something interesting is King James uses broken off. Weymouth uses the word pruned.
Pruned, okay.
That is on purpose.
Well, we all know that prunes are good for you. I think, yes.
This pruning is a lot like that chastisement that we see in Hebrews 12.
Yes, yes, very much it is. Well, once we get that sort of nailed down and understand what it is that Paul is trying to explain to us here in the picture of this olive tree, then we can understand that the branches that were grafted in are the Gentiles shouldn't be boasting against the Israelites because they were naturally there first. Yes, it's true that some of those branches were broken off, but if they were broken off, could God graft them back in? Could he receive them back? Oh, yes, he certainly can, and he certainly will. And so what's the upshot of all this? That Gentile believers shouldn't boast themselves against Israel or the branches that were broken off. We have to remember that the entire tree, Jew and Gentile, both draw their nourishment from the same root. Does that make sense? It's a family, a tree. Okay, that's what verse number 16 gets into then. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And then in verse number 17, he goes on, and if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And so this brings us back to, I think, where we left off last time. The root is Abraham. And of course, last time we got together, we went back to Genesis chapter 17 and the promises that God made to Abraham. And we want to take off now from there. So let's look at Genesis 17 and verse number 7 to start with. Because we've got to get the root of the root, if you will. Genesis 17, then, and verse number 7, where God says to Abraham, we read this last time we got together, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed, singular, after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed, singular, after thee. And so God now makes a promise that has something very specific in it. And he speaks of that seed of Abraham that is the root and ground, if you will, of the blessing. In other words, it's the seed of the seed, or the seed of the root, if you will. Abraham's the root, but the root doesn't exist by itself. It has to grow out of a seed, if you want to extend the analogy. And from this point now, with that in mind, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. And we'll remember, of course, that Galatians has what is its subject matter? It was written to the Galatians, but they weren't the subject.
It was about going back into the law.
Yes, trying to lapse back into the law, trying to be Israel, the church trying to be Israel. Exactly. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3 then and start in verse number 11. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, this seed, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth nor addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, and it should make the promise of none effect. And so, I'm sorry, let's read verse number 18 too. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Okay, what is being pointed out here? Well, the Galatians wanted to lapse back into the law. They wanted to be Israel. In fact, I dare say, if you were to interview one of the folks in the churches of Galatia that were putting this thing forth, they would doubtless tell you God threw Israel aside because of their unbelief, and he made us Israel. So we really are the true Israel. We're the British Israelites. I told you Garner Ted Armstrong was right, he said with tongue in cheek. Okay, Paul is saying, no, that isn't the case at all. If you go back to the root, Israel is a branch that fed off the root. But if you go back to the root and the promises that were made for to Abraham, you see that it's on an entirely different basis. The law has nothing to do with it. The law came along 430 years after this covenant, this Abrahamic covenant, was made and ratified. Let's read it again because it's so important to understand. Verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. You find this in the scripture four times, just to make sure that the point is never missed. And then he goes on to say, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. What's the problem here? There's no man that does them. No man will be justified by the law because no man can keep the law, and the law is not of faith. They're two entirely separate and different things. And then in verse number 13, we see that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? He became a curse for us. Okay, what was the result of that? Well, we see that verse number 13 ends with a colon. That means that verse number 14 is a continuation of the same sentence, if you will. What's the result of Christ being made a curse for us? Well, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that singular seed that God promised to Abraham. So in that seed is the place of blessing for both Jew and Gentile, both for the believing Jew and the believing Gentile. They both stand by faith. Yes, the Israelite was under the law, and he did go through all of the rituals. He didn't keep the law perfectly, But that wasn't his basis for the standing before God. Even though he was an Israelite that had broken the law, he had faith. The same principle applies for a Gentile that would come to God through Christ, not through the law, but come directly to God through Christ. And so when Paul is talking about these branches, this olive tree, yes, it's the root that bears both of them. And what's the root of the root? Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. And out of that was the seed. And it's the seed that gives life to the entire tree, if you will. That's its life source. And so we see here that it's very evident that if you were a Gentile and you've come to Christ by faith, you have a relationship of a sort with the believing Jew, in that you both draw your life source from the same root and the same seed, but you're two separate entities in the plan and purpose of God, and he doesn't want those two mingled together. Is this making sense? It's a very important distinction, and this is where churchianity has broken down so badly. And I think one of the greatest scandals of churchianity is what they've done to the Jew. They've either magnified the Jew and tried to emulate or ape the Jew, or they've initiated pogroms and murdered the Jews. That's a scandal. Well, Paul doesn't want us to fall victim to the same kind of thinking that led to that. Isn't it interesting? The devil's in the ditch on both sides of the road.
It's a straight and narrow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, back to our scripture then. And so Paul now is telling us in verse number 16, if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and they were, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness. That's what we just got done talking about, the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Well, then you shouldn't boast against the branches. But if thou boast, understand this, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Because if you're boasting against the branches, what are you really doing? The people that are saying God is finished with Israel and therefore we should kill them all, or the people that are saying, well, the Israelites were the only true people of God, so we should be like them, what are you doing? You're setting aside God's plan. Pardon? Yes, what you're trying to do is force God into your template. Well, that doesn't work so good, does it? And that's what Paul is warning against here. Okay, boast not against the branches. Well, you know, there's always some smart aleck, and that's where verse number 19 comes in. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Too bad for them. Boy, did they mess up. Na-na-na-na-na-na. That's what he's really saying here. Oops. That might not be a good attitude. Yeah, they were broken off. And you were grafted in. But that's God's doing and God's business, not yours. And then in verse number 20, he says, well, I like that, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standeth by faith. That's the thing that's so quickly forgotten, it seems. The just shall live by faith. It's always been that way from the Garden of Eden until the ages of the ages, this is the way that it is. The just shall live by faith. God's had different ways of dealing with the human race at different periods in its history, but that one universal truth comes through from the Garden of Eden till the ages of the ages, that the just shall live by faith. And Paul is reminding now the Gentiles and the church, now since he's gotten here, that you stand by faith. It's obvious he's not talking to the Gentiles in general. He's talking to Gentiles or ex-Gentiles, if you will, in particular, those that do have a standing by faith. Be very careful here. You're standing on holy ground. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. That's good advice almost all the time, isn't it? Almost all the time and almost everywhere. Be not high-minded, but fear. Yes, they were broken off. But Paul's going to go on to make the argument, yeah, but you know, they actually did belong in the tree. So wouldn't it be a more natural thing to take a part of the actual tree and graft it back into itself? That'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? You know that the graft would always take. Well, that's going to happen because God isn't finished with Israel. And that's the point that's being made here. So for now, let's pray.